Thank you, Your Honors. Mr. Coonan, Stephen Williams for the defendant appellant in this case, Keith Gary. Your Honors, I think there are two points that are raised by this appeal. The first is whether or not it is clear from the record that the trial court gave any consideration regarding Mr. Gary's family circumstances with respect to the length of sentence that was imposed.
Well, he thought he had taken care of the problem by staggering the sentences. Having taken care of it in that fashion, he didn't think there was any reason left for giving him a lighter sentence.
Well, that's one possible.
So what's wrong with that? I mean, what's wrong with that?
Well, that is one possible.
Made the problem go away.
That's one possible interpretation of what the trial court was thinking.
Interpretation.
I don't think that that's necessarily.
Well, it's obvious, right? He thought he'd taken care of the problem by staggering the sentences. So having staggered the sentence and in that way resolved the family problem, why would he give him a lighter sentence?
Well, that doesn't address all of the issues with respect to the family problem. I mean, the fact of the matter is.
It means there'll be one parent, you know, continuously available to the kids.
That's true. However, at the time of the sentencing, and certainly right now, given the fact that Mrs. Gary is in prison, Mr. Gary was.
Deservedly so.
Not making any arguments on her behalf, Your Honor, other than to say that.
Well, that's where she is, but I want to pick up with her situation. I'm looking at 53 and 54, which is A21 and A22. And by the time I see the district court judge saying, you know, for you, an appropriate sentence is 1 year and 1 day plus 6 months of home detention, and then the next page, he turns around to Stacy and he says, you know, this woman's a problem. You know, she needs a longer sentence. He gives her 21 months. That sure looks to me like a district court judge who's thinking about length as well as staggering.
Well, there are definite differences between the two defendants
and
that
he
were.
Thinks about, you know, he adjusts the sentence for each one. The fact that he didn't go even shorter for Mr. Gary, you know, it's a fact, but I don't think it means he didn't think about it.
Well, the point that we're making, I understand that the court's questions in this regard is that it isn't clear from the record what consideration, if any, was given as to sentence length. And the reason that's important is there are a number of facts that distinguish the two defendants that have nothing to do with.
He got a sentence he got 60% as long as she did, right?
Correct.
That's a big difference.
Indeed, Your Honor, but there were differences in terms of their criminal history.
Nitpicking. We're getting a lot of nitpicking challenges to sentencing, right? You pick apart the sentencing transcript, and if he doesn't, you know, dot every I and cross every T, come up and appeal and say, I want a resentencing. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, one of the things.
Resentence, he'd say, yes, of course, this is what I did. I gave him a light sentence, and I staggered it, so he won't serve until she's out. So what more is he going to say?
I'm not sure, Your Honor. I mean, the point of the appeal is.
Certain, yeah, but.
And that's the issue. I mean, I certainly understand what the court is saying in terms of one interpretation.
It's nitpicking. It's a waste of time. It's a very short sentence. It's not going to get any shorter.
Well, 12 months in a day is a short sentence.
Well, he'll be eligible for good time, given that the extra day's on, right?
Certainly, Your Honor.
So it won't be a full 12 months.
That's true. I mean, if he gets good time and it ends up being.
Yeah.
Yes, Your Honor. I mean, so if we say that it's 10 months instead of 12 months, that's still a long time for a lot of people, especially someone who's never been to prison before. I mean, sometimes I'm here talking about sentences of 188 months or life or 240 months.
Sure.
But on the other hand,
no
for someone who.
No one wants to be in prison even a day. We understand that. And so not 10 months, not a year and a day or anything else. But to say that this judge didn't think about the length of the sentence or the family circumstances or the like is a tough position to take on the basis of this transcript.
Well, and I'm not arguing that it's not a tough position to take. I mean, the court is aware that, I mean, this was a case where there was some consideration that's evident from the record on appeal given to this very fact. And certainly the Poets case creates more difficulties for our position as well. But the fact of the matter is, in looking at the transcript, when you take it as a whole and you look at what the court's initial statements were regarding the family circumstances argument, which resemble the statements that were made by the court in the Schroeder case, and we attempted to try to get some clarification, and quite frankly, at the hearing itself, and the government has quoted me in this, it appeared to me that the court had given sufficient clarification. But in looking back at the sentencing transcript and evaluating this, in fairness to my client, I have to look at this and say, it's really not clear from the record exactly what the court was saying. And that in this particular case, a clarification could, in any event, go back and we could end up with the same sentence. On the other hand, we could end up with a sentence that is less, or it's a split sentence in some way. It's simply not
clear. Is he doing his home confinement now?
Mm-hmm. Well, he is on home confinement now. He is on home confinement, but for different reasons, to be honest, Your Honor. It's not part of this initial sentence. He's had some difficulties while on bond, and that's in the record as well. But he is on home confinement.
What difficulties he had?
He was put on home confinement while he was on bond due to a DUI. That's in the record on appeal, too. There's a transcript in the record that relates to the hearing on that. But it wasn't directly a result of the judgment in the case.
I thought that Judge Reagan had said, in essence, we'll take 6 months from what would be home confinement conditions on supervised release and put it before prison instead of after.
He did give that as an option, but that had not happened.
It hasn't happened yet?
Well,
it's happening now?
It's happening now, but for different reasons, okay. Your Honor. I'm trying to be accurate as far as what the record is.
Sometimes the world is messy. All right, thanks.
And this certainly is an example of that. But the essence of the argument is simply that in looking at this, if you take a look at this court's case law and what the basis of a 3553A determination can be, it's simply not clear. And the court may be right. It may be that Judge Reagan had in his mind exactly what we're talking about. And in looking at it and giving this an objective view, you can't look at this and say that it's absolutely clear what exactly he was saying. Is he saying that the length of sentence is not, or the issue of family circumstances is not a factor as it relates to length of sentence, but it is something that I'll take into consideration with respect to staggering the sentences? And is it that because of the fact that the defendants themselves are responsible for the effect that they've had on their family? And if that's the case, under the Schroeder case, that would seem to be an impermissible grounds for refusing to consider that factor. Or, in fact, did he consider it? That's where it's not clear. One can call it nitpicking. That may be a fair description of what's going on. On the other hand, under the case law, it's still something that has to be looked at, and it's something that requires clarification under this court's decisions. Thank you, Your Honors.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Williams. Mr. Coonan?
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Williams, may it please the court, Liam Coonan on behalf of the United States of America. The judge went out of his way for Mr. Keith Gary. The only difference between himself and his ex-spouse was that she incurred $10,000 more of fraud with unemployment benefits she unrightly received.
She had a history, too. Yeah.
Sorry, yeah, that as well, Your Honor.
So let me ask you about the one thing that troubles me in terms of what the district court said from your point of view. We're in the sentencing proceeding, and defense counsel asks the court to clarify about the weight given to the potential harm to the children in determining Mr. Gary's sentence. And the judge says, I consider the facts of the kids in this case. I don't think I am required to assign a value to it as part of 3553A. What does he mean by that?
In my opinion, Your Honor, the judge was saying that it doesn't have to put a value on whether the children could be regarded as victims.
He
just had to tip his hat to whether... Sorry.
He isn't... Do you think he's saying, I don't even have to think about the children as part of 3553A, or does he think... Or is he... I mean, you're saying maybe as victims, or... I mean, what does he mean when he say, I don't think I'm required to assign a value to it?
That he can consider them, but he doesn't have to put, you know, some kind of value as to how it outweighs any other kind of factor.
Do you think that's right? I mean, I thought under 3553A, district judges were told, you know, you ought to think about everything. Now, I could certainly understand if it just means you don't have to call it a 1 or a 10 or a 35, you know, sure. I mean, the numbers could be very artificial, but as... In a broader sense, aren't judges supposed to look at all of the individual circumstances, and that might include somebody's responsibilities toward his own children?
Yes, but Your Honor. But the case law that the party cited refers to the circumstances where they're stock arguments, the family ties, and that the judge doesn't necessarily...
Why are people allowed to say, I mean, stock arguments? I mean, that's said in a pejorative tone of voice, but... It's not a small thing to have responsibility for young children.
Absolutely, Your Honor, and that's right. I didn't mean to come off that way. I'm just quoting the case that they use, that it doesn't, as the case law says, they're considered stock arguments, and that the judge doesn't have to lend them any discussion. Now, they're, with an exception of if they're extraordinary circumstances.
Well, that sounds like the old system. You know, I think that there are... personal circumstances for everybody. Some of them come up a lot, like having children or perhaps like having an elderly parent or somebody who's sick, or you know, you're running a small business and your employees will all go out of you know, lose their jobs if you're in prison and or whatever. But the fact that the judge is not compelled to lower the sentence because of those factors, which the judge certainly is not compelled, doesn't mean that the judge shouldn't put it into the black box, you know, and stir it around and think about it.
Yeah. Only if there are extraordinary circumstances.
Why? Where does it say that? Just because you don't have to adjust a sentence because of something that's common to people doesn't mean that you might not think in somebody's particular circumstance it's worth making an adjustment for.
Well, Your Honor, let me go to my alternative argument, would be that the judge did. And it's not so much... You know, as far as if the judge was specifically saying that, oh, I'm going to address family ties and this is what I, you know, decide and find, is that it's the whole context that the court can look in its review. And in the whole context, we have the judge, he discusses the 3553A factors. He goes ahead and he discusses the, you know, the pros to give him a heavier sentence. And then he goes ahead and, you know, hears out defense counsel on all the reasons with the family ties and on the work history. And
well, I agree with you there. I mean, certainly if you once you look at the whole transcript, I just want to make one final point about stock arguments, which is that if district court judges, as we now know they are entitled to even go so far as disregard the 100-to-1 ratio, you know, for the cocaine cases just because they disagree with it, as we know from Kimbrough and Gall, surely a particular district court judge might think that something that used to be regarded as a mere stock argument is worth giving some weight to. But anyway, looking at the transcript as a whole, I think is certainly correct, and we have a lot more than just this one statement from this judge.
Sure, Your Honor, and a judge, you spend a whole lot of time in that one sentencing on how to come up with a staggering sentence, discussing it with the parties. He has these quotes of taking care of the kids so these kids can have parental continuity. Lumping in the work issue with the family issue is that Keith Gary was able to be the one to stay at home first. So he was able to retain his two jobs and take care of the kids. And that was the beauty of Judge Reagan's decision, you know, in one regard, to help out these people. You know, the government asked for a little bit more time, and the judge went ahead and gave him something at the near the very bottom of the advisory guidelines.
Okay.
The government would ask that the court affirm. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Kuhn. And Mr. Williams, I think your time expired, but you can have a minute if you'd like.
Well, I'll just make a couple brief points, Your Honor. First, the fact that these might have been considered stock arguments or that these are things that the guidelines themselves assign some particular bar is kind of irrelevant. There doesn't need to be under the sentencing guidelines, extraordinary circumstances that would have qualified under those cases that predated Booker, for instance. The fact of the matter is, we understand the court put a lot of effort into this case, and that's not what this is about.
Yeah, but the problem is, look, the judges are giving oral state. You know, it's an oral sentencing business, and of course, whenever you look at a transcript of someone's oral statement, you always find ways to pick at it and say, oh, well, what did he mean by this, by that? You know, it's not fully articulated. It's not clear what he means. But if you look at the whole case, it seems obvious. He's taking care of the kids, he thinks, so he doesn't have to give him a lighter lighter sentence.
I certainly understand the court's concern. What we're here to do oftentimes is nitpick, and sometimes that nitpicking is important. Other times it may end up not being in the court's view, but that is what we're here to do, and in Mr. Gary's case, this is an important factor for him. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You don't necessarily have to buy into the description of nitpicking.